Welcome to This is America in VOA Special English. I'm Faith Lapidus.
And I'm Christopher Cruz. This week on our program, we look at transportation in the United States.
A federal safety agency wants to send a message to all drivers in the United States. Keep your attention on the road. The National Transportation Safety Board has called for a nationwide ban on the use of portable electronic devices while driving. The proposal by the NTSB would not ban emergency uses or the use of what it calls devices designed to support the driving task. Across the country, different states have different levels of restrictions on texting or talking on the phone while driving. The Safety Board called for the nationwide ban last month after meeting to discuss a deadly accident. It happened in 2010 in Missouri. A pickup truck drove into the back of a bigger truck that had slowed for road work. A school bus then struck the pickup truck, and a second school bus crashed into the first one. 38 people were injured, but a 15-year-old student was killed. So was the 19-year-old driver of the pickup truck. NTSB investigators found that he had sent and received 11 text messages in the 11 minutes before the accident. He had received the last text right before the crash. The government linked driver distraction to more than 3,000 deaths in 2010. Those represented about 9% of all road deaths that year.
The experts at the National Transportation Safety Board can make any recommendations they wish, but the Department of Transportation does not have to follow them. Aaron Bragman is an automotive analyst in Detroit, Michigan. He notes that the department has decided for now to further study the issue of distracted driving.
The NTSB's declaration is just basically a recommendation. It really doesn't have any kind of binding legal status. It really doesn't force anybody to do anything. The statement specifically from the NTSB has basically been almost universally rejected as simply illogical and impossible, and as something that really couldn't even be enforced.
Mr. Bragman points out that automakers keep making it easier for drivers to do other things while they drive.
Increasingly, we're seeing a lot of these new cars are already coming with hands-free devices. It's an increasing trend that we're seeing across the industry, and it's not happening in just expensive cars. It's actually helping to improve sales.
Cars and trucks are not the only vehicles where phones and other devices can cause distractions. The NTSB points to accidents like a train crash in California in 2008. One of the engineers was texting and ran through a red signal and into another train. That crash killed 25 people. In 2009, two airline pilots became distracted by their personal laptops during a flight. They flew 160 kilometers past the city where they were supposed to land. In 2010, two Hungarian tourists died in a boat crash on the Delaware River in Philadelphia. Investigators said a crew member on a tugboat had repeatedly been paying attention to a cell phone and laptop computer. 2012 marks 10 years since the NTSB handled its first investigation involving distraction from a wireless device. In 2002, a new driver, talking on the phone, crossed into opposing traffic on a road in Maryland. The car turned over. 5 people were killed.
Almost everyone knows about the risks of distracted driving. But what about distracted walking? People who get struck by cars or trains while wearing headphones. A new report says the United States had 116 headphone-related pedestrian crashes from 2004 to 2011. Three times as many of these happened in the last 2 years as in the first 2 years. The researchers say the increase over time closely follows the rise in popularity of MP3 music players and other devices that use headphones. 70% of the crashes killed the pedestrian. More than two-thirds of them were male and under the age of 30. The largest number were age 15 to 24. The operators of almost a third of the vehicles reported having sounded their horn to warn the pedestrian. More than half of the accidents involved trains. Dr. Richard Lichtenstein led the study by medical researchers at the University of Maryland. The findings appear in the journal Injury Prevention.
Demand for smaller cars continues to redefine the auto industry in the United States. That demand is bringing jobs back to an industry that lost tens of thousands of workers in the last 10 years. But it does not help some existing workers like Nicole Current.
I make truck axles, so as the auto industry tries to get away from the larger size vehicles and try to get to more fuel efficient, more economical vehicles, and gas prices being where they are with what product we make, it makes it extremely difficult when the actual economy, people aren't buying trucks.
The changes in what people are buying is creating jobs in the so-called green car industry and eliminating others, like Ms. Current's job. She has worked on an assembly line in Detroit, Michigan, for 15 years. She hopes to find one of those new jobs. Auto analyst Aaron Bragman says car sales have slowly been increasing over the last few months in the United States. This, he says, is mainly because old cars need to be replaced.
The American vehicle fleet, which is the total sum of all the vehicles on the road, is actually the oldest it's ever been. It's over 10 years old right now. People simply have to get a new one because the old ones are starting to wear out.
But to save money, he says, most people replace their old car with a used car instead of a truly new one. Mr. Bragman says when Americans shop for a car, they are most concerned about fuel economy. But that does not necessarily mean they are looking for hybrids, which use gasoline and electric power, like the Toyota Prius.
Really what we're seeing is not so much people specifically looking for hybrid cars, although fuel economy does remain very important to new buyers. They're realizing that some of the new gasoline cars almost approaching hybrid levels of fuel economy, so you don't even necessarily need to spend the extra money for a hybrid vehicle in order to get really, really decent fuel economy.
Still, Greg Tommy at Toyota says the Prius remains one of his company's most popular models.
The Prius has done really well. We expect our sales this year to grow incrementally as far as Prius is concerned because we're growing basically from one Prius model to a family of four vehicles.
Toyota launched the smaller Prius C this month at the 2012 North American International Auto Show in Detroit. Mr. Tommy says the smaller model is an answer to changes in demand after the Great Recession.
The recession certainly hit all models. Now we're starting to see a lot of people come back to the market, including for new technologies like hybrids and so forth.
Almost every manufacturer at this year's Detroit Auto Show is now marketing more fuel-efficient models. You can watch a video about some of the new green cars at voaspecialenglish.com.
Streetcars have been carrying people through New Orleans for more than 150 years. Anthony Falls has been driving streetcars for 10 of those years and still enjoys the job.
First of all, it's one of the most, the oldest rail lines in the world. And second of all, you know, it's just part of being part of history, you know, because at one time, you know, they didn't have, you know, people of color driving the streetcar, you know. So, I think that's a big part of my job.
Streetcars carry passengers along New Orleans' famous St. Charles Avenue and other streets. People ride cars built in the 1920s.
I've been riding the streetcars ever since I started high school. Sometimes we would go out to lunch, grab, hop on the streetcar. It's convenient. It's cheap.
The reason why I like it, I don't know, it's a piece of history. They have these old cars and they respect them and they keep them running. You know, we can ride down here and be part of the living history of New Orleans.
The city in Louisiana is one of about 20 American cities that are expanding or developing streetcar systems. Streetcars are usually powered by overhead lines that carry electricity. Dominic Moncada from the Regional Transit Authority in New Orleans explains why more cities are turning to streetcars.
With gas prices constantly increasing, a lot of public transit agencies are trying to find ways to modernize their systems, anything that, you know, has a better cost benefit for an agency.
New Orleans is laying down new tracks to expand its system. Other cities, including San Francisco, California, and Portland, Oregon, are also expanding their systems. In Portland, a streetcar line opened in 2001. It covers 6.5 kilometers and has about 12,000 daily riders. A second line is set to open this year.
Do you ride a bike to work or to get around town? Local officials in Washington, D.C. wish more people would. The city government in the District of Columbia started the Bike Share program in September of 2010. Today, there are more than 130 stations around the city where members can get or return a bike. In all, the nation's capital and neighboring Arlington, Virginia, have more than 1,000 bike share bicycles.
I love it. I use it every single day to get to school.
People can buy memberships for a single day, 3 days, 1 month, or a full year. Chris Holben is the project director of Washington's Capital Bike Share program.
We have about 20,000 members, annual members, who can walk up, take a bike out. We've also had about 90,000 visitors use our bikes, so those are tourists or people here for the day.
People used the bikes for 1 million rides during the last year. Mr. Holben says this works out to 50,000 fewer automobile trips. A survey showed that 5% of members would have used cars had bikes not been available. In addition to Arlington, two other Washington suburbs have agreed to join the network: Montgomery County, Maryland, and Alexandria, Virginia. The program is expected to grow to almost 300 stations and almost 3,000 bikes by the end of this year. You can watch a video about Capital Bike Share at voaspecialenglish.com.
Our program was written and produced by Brianna Blake, with reporting by Kane Farabaugh, Sella Hennessy, and Mohammed Atif. I'm Faith Lapidus.
And I'm Christopher Cruz. You can find texts and MP3s of our programs, along with English teaching activities, at voaspecialenglish.com. Join us again next week for This is America in VOA Special English.